In this episode of COL Drag Race Tea Time, category is Sail Bitch Slap Out of It. Chester and Gary are joined by extra special guest Judge Ian to brew up a witch's tale of Eastwick proportions. Who was moonstruck by the performances? Did anyone mask the competition? Tune in to find out who believes in life after love as COL Drag Race Tea Time Season 10, Episode 8 starts now.
Tens across the board.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Hey, kitty girls, it's May 14th, 2018, and welcome to Comes Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time, Season 10, Episode Number 8. Is it a magic 8-ball? Let's find out. Before we get into that, though, if you don't know who I am, my name's Gary. I'm one of the co-hosts here at Comes Out Loud, and for COLDR, as we like to call it, I am joined tonight by my ever-fabulous co-host.
I'm Chester.
And with Chester and I tonight, we have an extra special guest host. I'm super excited about this. Yay. Everyone, welcome to our show for the first time ever, because he's popping his cherry. Yay! Ian!
Hey, everybody.
Ian, you recently joined the COLDR chat on Telegram, correct?
Correct.
So you're moving up in the world, kitty girl, like super fast.
Yeah, I funny enough, I've been talking to Chester on and off for a couple of years now, and I never knew about the podcast. And then I was chosen, I guess, to be Bear of the Day from Tumblr somewhat recently. And I was like, what is this podcast? Yeah. I'm podcast addicted, kind of in general. And it's been fantastic.
Aww.
Well, you've got like 10 years to go back.
Yeah, no shit. I wish I'd known about that when B-Talk left.
Yeah, oh, well, that goes way back because B-Talk and Bear Podcast with Ray and Nard were like the first ones I knew of. I knew of Ray and Nard, and then I found out about Joel and Shannon and Brian and all them, you know, with B-Talk. And then I found out about 619 Bearcast, and I followed those guys for a while with JP and them. So, yeah. It's been a long time coming. So I've been with COL for 5 years, I think. Something like that. And Chester's kind of the baby. He's the newest of the bunch.
Right on.
So, yeah, well,
I passed my anniversary September, August.
Yeah.
I think it was something like that.
So welcome to joining us, Ian. We're super excited to talk about Drag Race.
I'm always excited to talk about Drag Race. Bring it on.
All right. Well, let's get into it, shall we?
Yes, please. Cover girl. Put the bass in your walk.
All right, let's stop the runway. We have to get into having this discussion about three things that happened in this episode. The mini challenge, the maxi challenge, and the runway. Mini challenge was slap out of it. So before we knew what the big theme was, Rue comes into the room and decides to bitch slap down every single queen, including actually slapping Asia O'Hara.
She sure did.
Wasn't Aquaria like I had hoped for, or the Vixen, but anyways, we'll get to that. Then we got to the maxi challenge, which was Cher, the unauthorized Rusical. And then we got to the runway challenge, which I'm calling Glitterati. I swear there was an A in it. Oh, glitterific? I don't know, something like that.
Something like that.
Which I'm sure there's controversy about that we'll get to as well. Because not all that sparkles is necessarily glitter, but
see what you did there.
Yeah, well, you know, that being said, Ian, as our guest, we would like you to let us know your thoughts. Starting off, you can talk about any of those three or all of them or okay. Whatever caught your eye.
Sure. Okay, well then, starting with the mini challenge, I got a document here with my notes of things I thought I'd bring up.
We like a well-prepared man.
The slap out of it, I really appreciated a lot of the kind of callbacks to other seasons of Drag Race and kind of RuPaul's career in general. So like when she was like, "You wear it," that was fucking awesome. I thought that was great. And then also, where was it? okay, can't find what. Oh, Eureka, bringing up the HD. That's fantastic. You know, the first couple seasons had the Vaseline on the lens.
I thought it was great considering how simple it was, because she just went HD.
So good. And then, of course, Aquaria just going that she saying she was born in 1996. That was so good.
I actually did like the challenge, but I do have to give the Oscar to Asia O'Hara for the overreaction after the shock wears off that she literally got her face hit by RuPaul, which, nothing against Miss Asia O'Hara, I'm not being shady, but she might have had some work done, and that might have been all the more reason she was not prepared for physical contact, because she has some really nice cheekbones, I'll put it that way,
and a wonderful set of teeth too. Like, damn. But when she was just like owning that, like Asia O'Hara's Drag Race next season, I was like, I'm in.
I thought that was so awesome, where she was like, she's like, I'm gonna own all this. And I was like, ooh, there might be some truth in that. Like, not necessarily, but you know. I mean, last year Eureka fucks up her knee during a physical challenge, so apparently no more of that. So I have a feeling this is the last slapping incident ever, because some queens don't know how to move their face out of the way, or Rue doesn't know how to not make contact.
It did make me wonder if Asia just didn't move her head or what.
Yeah, I think it was on both parts. I think Asia didn't know to move her head, and RuPaul didn't know to maybe pull back a little bit with her.
I think they both misjudged the timing. That's very unfortunate, because I want to say it again. If anybody that actually should have been physically slapped, it was, I would have not put money on Asia O'Hara. I'm just going to say that for the record. And that's okay. I mean, you know, Asia handled it pretty well. So, but I mean, her overreaction, her walking around like in a circle, and then when she walked back, like how her back is all thrown out, and she's like kind of like doing this weird lip. And it's funny, because you could tell how much it was an act by the very last second the camera catches when she's standing there. She goes right to beautiful, like, pageant smile.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like, gotcha. And I was like, you bitch. I was like, it was so good. yeah, I really like that.
And then, of course, Rue fake stabbing Miss Cracker was great. And then just all et tu RuPaul. That was so good.
Well, all right. So that was interesting to me, because I was like, well, that's not really a slap. Like, that's actually like you're going to murder a bitch. Like, you're literally going to cut her, like, and gut her. I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah, I think by that point they probably devolved into this just like acting challenge that was, hey, see how well you can pretend you're in pain.
That's true. It could very well be. Anything else about the mini challenge, Chester, that you had thoughts on? Or okay, let's talk maxi challenge, which I'm like, all right, here's the thing. Every season gets criticized. There's too much sewing challenge. There's too much acting challenge. There's too much singing challenge. So we get to singing. I'm kind of glad that it took this long to get here, because I was very, very, very uncomfortable. So Christy and I are live chatting while it's airing. And when it was done, like when they went to the Todrick Hall rehearsal, I said, I am very nervous. And then when they came out of the rehearsal, I said, I do not have a good feeling about this.
Hey, quick, before we get into the meat of it, I just want to point something out that when they were announcing what the challenge was, we saw Miss Chad Michaels as Cher announcing the challenge. Did I not say earlier in the season how great it would be if they had the returning queens come back for the episodes?
Yeah, you did.
When that's true.
Alyssa.
When Alyssa came back to do the challenge with them, the dancing challenge. And I was like, wouldn't that have been great if they just brought queens back the entire season? And here we've got Chad briefly.
Way too briefly.
Why didn't they do this for every episode?
That would be great.
Probably because they'd have to pay them. Nice. No, I agree that it was really good that Chad did that. Like, I will say that was very unexpected. Like, you know, they get the woo, you know, she'd already not had hers is. And so they go over to watch the TV, which is actually kind of green screened. So they can, you know, put the CG over to make it look crisper for us. But then, like, I was like, wait a minute, this is Chad. Like, this is all Chad. I was like, okay. How very interesting. But to be fair, I think they would have been criticized if Rue had done any of that.
Yeah.
They would probably would have been seriously, like, one of your fucking all-star winners is Cher. Just, like, just have her do it.
Just is Cher. Although, I mean, Cameron's Cher was pretty impressive.
Yes. to lead off the maxi challenge, she was making me very, very nervous. And then when she stepped out on stage, I was like, who dat? Because that's not who left rehearsal. Like,
true that.
Obviously, someone spent some time practicing.
And that tends to happen, I've noticed, in these kinds of challenges is, you know, they show them looking like they're not ready and not prepared. And then you get to the actual challenge and they kick ass. I mean, just look at Dayla's, like at Maggie Smith, like, nuts, and then she killed it.
Right. I think it's an intentional mislead on the edit, which maybe that's a part of the issue that we're having is that it's becoming obvious if you really just take a step back and be like, oh well, yeah, you're, you know, we know what you're doing, kind of a thing. In that case, who else was there? Anybody else besides Cameron that really stood out to you in terms of the?
Yeah, I thought Cameron and Monet were my tops, at least for Cher impersonators and doing their parts. And they happened to be the first two people on the stage, and I thought they just started it off great.
For the most part, everybody's looked very well put together. I really liked Ms. Cracker's, This Goes 70s look.
Mm-hmm.
And her line about, you know, get rid of this cheap.
No, that was Aquaria.
Oh, that was Aquaria?
Yeah, where she's that was
crap instead of shit. I thought that was cute and funny.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting that she made that call. They ran with it. And then she's pretty sly like a fox to make a comment on that, like to wait for the judges to say something and then to make a call back about the fact that it was her idea that she came up with that, blah, 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 blah. Because I think people kind of underestimate her. They think she's a little quiet, that she doesn't necessarily speak as much. I mean, like, you know, she's got all these things about her. Like, yes, she's a look queen. But what else is there underneath the surface? And I thought that was very strategic on her part to be like, oh, I came up with that. But to see it when it was performed, I didn't know that was planned. I thought she literally did that right then and there. Not that she'd been having problems with the costume and needed to work out what to do about it. So when I saw it, I was like, did she seriously just ad-lib that shit? Because that's sort of a death wish, in my opinion. But, you know. Yeah.
It could have gone the way of so many lip syncs where people ripped off their wig. But luckily, it worked in her favor.
Yes, that it did. I personally did like what Ms. Cracker did as the current, like, reborn, never gonna die, always touring Cher.
Yeah.
Towards the end, I felt bad for her because she's so small. So that outfit just, I think, made her look even smaller, unfortunately, because Cher is tall. So I was like, yeah, you're not really impersonating Cher very well. Like, I thought I think she got the vocoder, like, that microphone handography, whatever you want to call it, like, down. So, and I thought that was interesting because some other folks were kind of talking about the fact that she had so much stuff to do in terms of all the choreography and the singing and the, like, which was it? Is it this mic? Is it the handheld mic? Like, that kind of stuff, that they felt that some people, I think it was the pit stop discussion, they were saying she actually did really well. It's unfortunate that when you look at, like, the six of them or seven of them, do you know what I mean? Like, you're comparing them one against the other and you end up with, like, this discussion about what happened during, you know, the All-Star season about, you know, who got more lines, who had more stuff to do. So, yeah, I think they did all right. I was not overwhelmed, but it also wasn't the train wreck disaster I predicted it was going to be.
Yeah, it was surprisingly good. Oh, sorry, go, Chester.
Oh, no, I was just, because I agree completely.
Yeah. And you know, again, the whole, you know, making it look one way and then actually being another way. I mean, Eureka pushing through her issue with performing, especially singing live. That was impressive, and I thought by the end of it, she turned it out.
She did better than I initially thought she was going to. I was very uncomfortable for, like, the first 20 seconds or 15 seconds. I could tell she was on the precipice of tanking or doing okay, and I just didn't know which way it was going to go. It was very... This is a horrible analogy. It was very Weeble Wobble. It was like, all right, girl, which way are you going to fall? Like, if you can fall, like, I don't know what's happening, like, inside your head. It feels like you are trying to work through panic, and that's not necessarily always a good thing for some people. So, but by the time she got towards the front of the stage, and then when she got the laugh because she turned around, and I think there's the line about her ass or whatever, and you saw the imitation tattoo thing. And I was like, I think that the moment she kind of heard the judges, like, crack up a little bit, she was like, all right, I'm cool. Like, they're not, if it had been crickets, I think she would have been like, ooh, like,
yeah, I kind of agree. But I think your Weeble Wobble analogy is better than you even think, because Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And Eureka, she's weebled and wobbled, but she hasn't fallen. She keeps coming back stronger and stronger.
That's fair. I wasn't trying to say that she is a Weeble Wobble because she's a big girl. But yeah.
No, I wasn't. Sorry. I wasn't saying that you were saying that. I just thought, hey, the analogy actually works.
Well, and the thing is that she in a way had, I think, the hardest spot to do. Because when you talk about Cher, most people, I think, at least of my age or approximately my age, that's one of the most recognizable Cher looks that you have. Like, Absolutely. Yes, like her later years with the metallic wigs and, you know, and even the paper mache thing she had a couple years ago. Like, that's all fine. But if there's anything that you know about Cher, she wore a scantily clad, like, crazy spandexy kind of thing with, like, semen around her. I mean, sailors. the cannon, I thought, was a fucking hysterical prop thing that came out of nowhere.
Definitely.
That sure as hell wasn't in the rehearsal. And all of a sudden, they just thrust this, like, cannon up between her legs on the stage. And I was like, whoa, okay. That's a thing.
That just happened.
Yeah, no, it was pretty good. All right, Ian. Runway, what did you think of Glitter, or whatever they called it?
So, okay, you kind of mentioned a little bit of controversy in this glitter challenge. And I think I know where you're going with this. Is it the whole glitter rhinestones sequins thing?
Well, that's the part that really irritated me about this, was that there had to be a discussion about whether or not something was glitter. And this actually jumps sort of into a discussion from Untucked, but I do want to say Cameron answered this issue. I don't think Asia liked Cameron's answer, but she answered it. So I went, oh, all right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I felt like halfway through the challenge, we all just kind of accepted that it wasn't strictly glitter. It was just things that are sparkly. And it worked for me. I had no problem that some people use rhinestones, some people use sequins. I thought it was great.
The way that Cameron responded to that is the exactly the way that I would have thought about it. I didn't, when they said glitter, I didn't think they meant actual glitter. I thought right. They meant glitter as in a noun or a verb.
Something that glitters, yeah. Something that's shiny.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So it didn't surprise me at all seeing somebody come out in rhinestone. It yeah. didn't bother me that they were in rhinestone.
Right. I think the goal was it needs to be kind of an ooh shiny, like right. sparkly, like eye-catching kind of thing. But that's really hard to describe, or that would be a very clunky runway description. So they were just like, glitter, which... Yeah. Then leads to this weird, like, you know, is it glitter or is it not glitter rah, 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 kind of fabric, you know, use implementation thing.
I don't know. I think the people who had a problem with it were just people who didn't think to try that maybe, or were upset that someone did think outside the box and, you know, got awarded for it. It's kind of like, God, what was that, season 3? And I love Shangela, but where she did the whole, like, all right, Miss Tutu tulle and felt and fabric and hair. Like, she said that you got the hair in there, but yeah, you used all these other things too. It might not have been in the description, but it's okay.
Well, and that was something I thought that was interesting about All-Stars season 3. I know we're talking about season 10, but bear with me. All-Stars season 3 runways really seem to push beyond just the description. Like, I felt like the queens specifically were not only trying to meet the expectation, but go beyond it. And I wonder if that's just a normal expectation of an All-Star season versus a regular season, because I will give these props. Aquaria seems to be one of the few, maybe her and Cracker, that are going beyond just whatever the theme is for the runway. And that to me was so abundantly clear last week with the mermaid fantasy. The moment she got wheeled onto the stage, I gasped and I was like, oh, yeah. Fucking genius. Like,
absolutely.
Like, and I didn't even care about the webbed hand thing, which later I saw was cool. I was just like, oh my God, like, it's a political statement, but it's fashion. Like, it was crazy. So,
yeah. And same with Asia wearing that mask. It was great.
Oh, yeah. That was an interesting controversy, right? Where people yeah. were like, you know, why did you cover up your face kind of thing? And I thought, oh, give it up. It's not Valentina, people.
Exactly.
But she made a choice. And I find it interesting because people are still kind of debating about whether or not that was too costume. And I don't think there's anything in the rules that state you have to always paint your face. So now I will say this, I did find it funny that I think it's in this episode, we get to see her after she takes the mask off. And they like,
she looked like Charlie Chaplin. I was living for it.
Oh, that black mustache thing was too funny, where they were just ripping on her. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. Now we know what Asia would look like, sort of, with the but in terms of the runway, Ian, did you have like someone that like really wowed you and someone that disappointed you, or were you kind of okay with how it went?
Some yes, some no. I mean, I actually, so my fashion sense is shit, but I actually loved the Vixen's constructed foam situation. I thought that was awesome. And she cinched construction foam. Like, that's kind of impressive. I also thought that Monet's glitter wig was awesome. I want to see more stuff like that.
I personally liked the Vixen's construction outfit. I just really kind of cocked my head sideways when she said it was foam. And I went, I would have said cardboard.
Like laminated cardboard is what I thought.
Yeah, I was very confused by her construction foam and then sprayed with glitter or whatever. I thought, well, it looks really lightweight and really flimsy. No offense. So I was confused by the foam part of it. I was like, pretty sure that's paper, but what do I know? Or cardstock or something. But I will say that I was really surprised by it. Like, she came out of it and I was like, oh, it's three dimensional. It's architecture. There's shape. I mean, there was so much about it.
Oh, yeah.
That really kind of surprised me that I felt bad in a way that the Vixen had not done that well. Because to me, the writing was on the wall.
Yeah.
Like, she had not done that well in the share challenge. So I was like, okay. Like, I don't know if this is going to be enough to save you.
Yeah, agreed. And I loved Aquaria's veiled eyes thing. I can't figure out how she did it, but it's awesome.
She took a cheesecloth like material, put glitter over that, and then glued that down.
Got it. And then she probably used like the face glue to just kind of keep it in place and then makeup over it. Got it.
I forgot what she called it. She said the thing that she used.
Well, she said it was a veil, and I was like, how is that a veil?
Yeah, it was basically a piece of mesh. And what was funny, it was in the Untucked episode, and she is turned to the right, and she's talking, and somebody's like, they're Aquaria, nobody's there's over there.
That was a good moment. And she was like, no, I'm talking to the cameraman.
Mm-hmm. Okay, girl, you can talk to the cameraman all you want, but the point is, none of us are over there. No, I did think that that was pretty crafty. Like, I still, and I only watched the show once. I meant to watch it a second time, but I didn't get to it today. Yeah, it was pretty spellbinding to watch her and not be able to see her eyes.
Yeah.
And to have this illusion thing about where her eye actually is versus what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. And then to find out that she can't hardly see. So she's like
tilting her head in all sorts of different directions.
Well, she said, like, when she went on the runway, I think her phrase was, like, I can see where the lines are. That was the only thing that, like, guided her was, like, and I was like, oh, all right, well, yeah. Although I found it interesting that some people turned around and was like, how did Aquaria know what the Met Gala theme was going to be on the show? And I'm like, oh, give it up. Like, that was just purely coincidence.
Right.
I actually saw her on a YouTube video on a show I've never heard of called Report Card, where they actually discuss the fashion of the Met Gala. And she was in full drag for that. And it was funny because I was like, okay, so if y'all think what she did on the Red Wave was for the Met Gala, you should actually see what she did for a recap of the Met Gala, because they're not the same thing. Hmm. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. So Vixen's dress and Aquaria, the ideal, the shades, the Venetian blinds, whatever those things were.
I appreciated Miss Cracker's look as well. I thought it was well conceived. I thought it was very beautiful the way it looked like it was eating away at her face.
Yeah.
I do want to mention that I didn't notice that she was missing an eyelash until Michelle Visage pointed it out. Once she pointed it out, that's all I could fixate on was she's missing an eyelash.
Yeah, but honestly, I thought that worked. I mean, it was supposed to be like that skull vomit, like, melted everything off of her, and I thought it was perfect. I was blown away by that.
Go ahead, Chester.
I was going to say, I think it may have worked better had the eyelash been gold.
Correct.
That could have worked, yeah. And maybe like melted down somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, I the moment Michelle mentioned it, I was like, oh shit. She only got one eyelash. And then I agree with you, Chester. I was like, like it just annoyed me because I kept fixating looking at her face because she didn't have one eyelash. And all I kept thinking was, girl, it don't take that much to put a 401 or whatever the fuck on your face and put some gold glitter on it. Like you could have like spray adhesive, dip it in the glitter, take it out, like, you know, kind of clean it up a little bit and then stick that shit on your face. So it would have not been a normal eyelash. It would have been all gold or something. But I was like, oh, of course, like it's a nitpicky little thing, but we are now halfway through the competition. So as we have agreed on the show many times, we got to get rid of the bottom third. Now we're getting away, you know, of the middle third, and we're going to end up with the top third, not top three, but, you know, out of what, 14, that's approximately five people. So yeah, we're getting to that point where it's going to be like, yeah, now it will start to become that type of stuff where the judges are critiquing and talking about little things. Speaking of which, I do want to talk or at least mention Monet Exchange's runway. So I didn't have a problem with it initially when she came out. I was all proud of her for body positivity, that she's like, I got no pads on. Like, this is all the real deal. I am like living my black, like kind of see-through deal, blah, blah, blah. I was not a fan of the hat. I'm sorry. It's a hat. It's not hair. I don't know what the story was with that. She would have done better if she had done like a big Delta Burke, you know, kind of like bouffant kind of deal, and then just shellacked the shit out of it with some glitter. But like when she then got critiqued and they showed us the flaws, then I was annoyed.
Yeah.
When they talked about the tape shit, and I was like, tape. And then right there, it comes on camera and I'm like, oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah, that was real unfortunate. I honestly, same with you. Like, I was just kind of loving that whole body positivity thing, and then just like, man, that was way messier than I realized.
Yeah, I felt bad for her. I was like, girl, your toupee tape done you wrong, or whatever you used. Like, it didn't hold in places and things. And because when they said tape, I was like, all right, now listen, if she used black duct tape to cover up like the nether region down there, give the girl a break. But that wasn't what they were talking about. And I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
So yeah, no, I agree. It's interesting, Chester. Like, so Miss Crackers, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. I was confused by it. And as Michelle says on stage many times, if you have to explain it to us, it's not a look. And that was just my personal thing. I went, what? Like, I didn't understand why there was a skull. I didn't understand why it was vomiting glitter all over her. I didn't know why it was looking over her shoulder. I don't know. It was odd enough that I guess I just didn't get it.
Oh, I guess I didn't even need an explanation. I just thought it looked neat.
Yeah, and I think the circle thing bothered me. It just seemed like a constructed to execute the idea, but it didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Like, as I was like, why is it a circle? Why does it seem like it doesn't
to hold up the skull?
Right, but I was like, why doesn't it look like it fits right? I mean, there was just a bunch of things. I think if she'd had two of them, and one had been the devil and one had been the angel, and they were both doing that, I think that could have been very messy, maybe dramatic. I don't know. But to be fair, it didn't land her in the bottom, and it also didn't give her a win. So
I guess what I got out of that was another political statement, sort of saying, you know, that showing the sinister side of fame, maybe, and like it looks shiny and glittery and pretty, but it's really just eating away at you. And I thought that was actually pretty cool.
Wow. And now I feel like I don't pay attention enough. All right. Are we ready to take it on to Untucked?
Yes.
All right.
Girl, if you're not watching Untucked, you're only getting half the story.
All right, let's talk Snatched. I hate to say it, but right now I'm drawing a blank a little bit on Snatched. Ian, what were your thoughts about the Untucked portion?
The first thing that caught my attention, at least, was Asia saying that anyone who played movie star Cher would have failed. And I no, there's a lot that anyone could have done with it. And unfortunately, you couldn't think of good things to do with it. You know, a lot of people, when they think of Cher, think of that moment, that moonstruck moment, you know, that snap out of it. And that was brought up so much in the episode that I thought she could have easily just flown through that challenge with that particular version of Cher. Mm-hmm.
My big thing with that was she was set up to do that joke during her performance, and yeah, she missed it.
Every time.
Every single time she did it. She was always off, and it was like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to slap the person.
Right.
And I'm like, it's right there in front of you. How do you not know to put that together?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I felt she seemed lost for that performance. So the fact that she brought it up on Untucked, even I was like, oh, girl, don't, no, too late. You went there, like you decided to go down that path and say, I think of any, basically, this is not her words, so I'm not putting these words in Asia O'Hara's mouth, but it came to me like, if any of you bitches had been given that role, you too would have struggled with it, like, and like be in the bottom. And I thought,
no,
that never works. Please don't do that.
Yeah. And it you know, it kind of harkened back to Thorgy being upset about getting Stevie Nicks as her character. It's like, you could have done a lot with that. Like, people say she sounds like a goat. Sing like a goat. Like, make something like in your outfit look goatish. I don't know. Like, I just feel like if you're creative enough, like, you can pull it out. Like, you can make it work.
I agree, and I think that's where things fall down just a little bit, is you can tell when the queens are not – there's something to be said for Stark, for sass, and for wit. But in moments like that where you're expected to personify somebody and yet be, like, creative and kooky with it or whatever, that's where you can see where sometimes that just isn't going to happen. And I think that's what happened in Asia's case, was she was being a little too literal, in that she just thought she was just going to kind of play it straight. And it's like, no, you really shouldn't be playing it straight. And that's the same thing I think that kind of happened with Thorgy, as you mentioned, with the Stevie Nicks thing from All-Star Season 3, where it was like you're being too true to the character. Like, that's not really what we need right now.
Right. I feel like any celebrity impersonation on that show has to have a little reverence, but at the same time, you know, you got to mock them a little bit. And it's like, if you're worried about offending them, they're not going to be offended. They'll probably, like, you know, what is it they say about, like, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery? Like, I feel like parodying these people, even in a way that might make them necessarily not look the greatest, I think they would love it. I think they would die.
Right. I think, you know, the saying is imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. I think Beyonce would find it hysterical if somebody could make a funny Beyonce.
Agreed.
But that's not happening. So
no, it's not.
So now I think they should just create a rule and say, don't do Beyonce. Don't do RuPaul. Do not do Beyonce. Those are the two you just don't touch. And then everything else is kind of fair game. Like, hell, what Sharon Needles did, Michelle Visage.
That was so good.
I mean, you know, like, you could kind of come for the judges. You just need to know what you're doing.
Right.
Or at least do it really well. So, yeah, no, I thought that was interesting. The only thing that I recall from Untucked, same thing, that was interesting to me was Cameron and Eureka going off so Eureka can have a cigarette. Mm-hmm. And that conversation where, unless I dreamt it, Eureka owned and said out loud to Cameron's face on camera, like, you are my biggest competition. Right. And I was like, wow. Very interesting.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I might not agree that's the person that Eureka should be looking out for, but I think she's definitely one of them. I mean, Cameron has come back with a vengeance and has been just awesome to watch.
She has kind of been that
black horse.
Yeah. I was waiting, Chester, because you put that gif in the chat. It was so funny.
Black horse.
Huh? Yeah.
Don't you mean dark horse?
Yeah, I think that she is the one to not underestimate. I think if anyone's playing the game and they're keeping their cards close to their chest, like they're not giving away all their stuff, Cameron's the one. I mean, was it this episode of Untucked where they got into this whole thing? Yeah, it was, because Cameron won this week. Congratulations to Miss Cameron. What surprised me was how they were all like, girl, aren't you happy? Blah, blah, blah. Which I thought, well, that's kind of a planted topic line.
Right.
That
was a note that I had made. I must have left my notes downstairs because I don't have them. That was a note that I had made about I am amazed at how humble Cameron is. About,
yeah.
I have learned to not count my chickens before they hatch. Even if I get sent home right now, that's a possibility.
Yeah, I agree. And the whole thing about when Eureka and Cameron were off having their discussion and they were saying that they think Cameron's fake. I never got that impression from her even once through the season. I'm just like, where did this come from? Like, it feels like that was a little kind of like what you guys were saying. It felt like another forced kind of topic.
Right. Well, so that really kind of surprised me, that conversation point where Cameron was like, yes, I got a lot of positive feedback and it appears they really liked what I do, and we will see what happens when we get on the runway. I was shocked as to how many of the girls were coming for her. It was like I really felt their attitude was like, oh, knock it off, Mary. Like, we don't have time for your like, oh, I don't know, I might win. Like, I really felt like that's how they were feeling about her. And I saw her as being very zen, like very like kind of centered and very, we will see what happens when it happens, which I think is a very mature approach, because I think Cameron has been watching seasons of the show to know you don't know what's going to happen. Like, bitches have been sent home unexpectedly from the runway, and like maybe Cameron pulled a Willem and was having sex with one of the crew. We don't know that just yet. I mean, maybe she has a DUI in her past that might have her removed. I mean, there's a ton of possibilities. I think she was very much saying, like, I'll believe it when I'm told that I won. And then the second part is probably, I will believe it when the money is in the bank, honey. Like, yeah. Until I get my lifetime supply or X thousand dollar whatever. I don't even remember what she won this week, which is pretty sad. Yeah, until she actually has the prize. She's like, Hanny. And it, like, just interesting.
Yeah. I have a feeling the other queens were a bit put off about her being so humble.
Yeah, I feel like some of the fight was sucked out of the room after the conversation between the Vixen and Asia. And so they needed some sort of conflict. And that was the best they could come up with.
Oh, actually, that brings up a good point. That wasn't in Untucked. It was in the main episode. I was so proud of Asia for that. And I literally said to Chris D, right as soon as that moment ended and we went to commercial, I was like, Asia O'Hara is the new Oprah. I was like, she totally like channeled this like inner like life coach kind of thing and tried talking to her about like, I get what you're going for and I understand where you come from. But, and this is me reinterpreting, so these are not Asia's words. It was basically like, girl, angry black woman does not look good on you. Yeah. At least not all the time. Like, I thought that was a really interesting conversation. And I have to own that as a cis, you know, gay white male, I got nothing to say about this. Mine is purely observational. I was like, wow, Asia's really trying to help her see, like, and that it was very heartfelt and that the vixen, you know, was getting emotional about it. And I was like, and I said, I think last week or maybe the week before, I kept saying, maybe the vixen's going to surprise us and she'll have this turnabout. Like, she'll figure out that, you know, you don't always have to, like, you know, fight everything or be that way. So we got a glimpse of that. And I thought, well, this might help redeem you, so to speak, in terms of like booking gigs and stuff. Cause that was one of my biggest concerns, is as soon as she's gone, girl, like, you know, ain't nobody going to be interested in booking your ass if they think you're that difficult to work with or that you're always going to fight about everything. They're going to be like, no, like,
yeah,
why should I pay for you to come entertain? I can get another bitch. No offense.
Well, I also think, I felt for her when they were showing her packing up her stuff and she was saying, you know, it's, I feel bad or something like that, that most of my moments that were captured were me being angry. And she didn't deny that she was being that person. And she just genuinely was speaking about how she feels she fucked herself up by constantly just showing that angry side. And there's a part of me that almost relates with that a little bit. You know, sometimes, you know, your emotions get the better of you and you just kind of show a side that you didn't mean to show people. And unfortunately, she did that every single episode.
Well, as we discussed last episode, one of the interesting feedback points was, like Drew had pointed out, she early on brought to the forefront of the show a discussion about a very important topic about like drag performers of color and how they are portrayed and how they like get seen and that kind of stuff. And there could be narratives. And so she had this like very like, you know, break the fourth wall comment about the cameras and not being portrayed as an angry black woman. And yet later on, she kind of became that, like she manifested or fell victim to that own discussion point by having, you know, issues with other people and engaging the way that she did. And I felt bad for her because I was like, you kind of get blind emotionally when you get wound into something, whether it's, you know, positive or negative, whether it's, you know, depression or anxiety or, you know, glee and that kind of stuff. Like you just, you can very easily just kind of get tunnel vision focused or put blinders on and not see how you're affecting other people. And more importantly, how they can see you. And I think that's really what happened to her in those moments where she just kind of got, you know, upset about stuff. And it gives those that edit all the more opportunity to use that as opposed to not. And I wonder if that's part of what Cameron's game is. I wonder if the reason why she's so kind of quiet and kind of, I don't want to say withdrawn, but maybe she's being a little calculating. Like there's been some online discussion about how Aquaria, perhaps the reason why she speaks the way she does is she's being very calculating about not being taken advantage of in an edit. And I find that very interesting that she has a little bit more of a Barack Obama kind of approach to things where you can tell there's a thought process happening as the discussion is taking place, as opposed to, you know, wow, I'm a Muppet, I do whatever the fuck I want, you know, and say shit, you know, on the other side of that. Yeah. Anything else from you fine gentlemen about Untucked?
Nope.
I'm looking at my notes here. No, I mean, this is where I was initially going to, I guess, talk about the whole glitter and rhinestone controversy, but that's the last thing I got on Untucked.
Well, and so, yeah, Asia's the one that brings it up and kind of basically points the finger at Cameron and says, I don't think that meets the challenge, and yet you are getting all the accolade. Like, those aren't the words, but that was kind of what I think the underlying message was. Cameron, in a very, like, you know, namaste kind of way, basically says, I looked at a lot of glitter fabrics. I didn't like them, so this is what I went with.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, like, fucking mic drop. Like, she basically shut Asia down and was like, sorry about it. Like,
sorry that you didn't interpret the challenge outside of the box.
Right. I feel like she was like, you know what? If they read me for it not being straight up glitter, then that's a choice that I made and I'm living with it. But they loved it. And I think that was great that she took that chance.
Yeah, she definitely made a moment of that unintentionally. I think she was just, I'm going to handle this, like I'm going to respond to it, and that's kind of where I sit. That was kind of the end of it. And I went, oh, okay. All right, that's it. Let's move on to snaps and eye rolls.
The time has come for you to lip sync for your life. Good luck and don't fuck it up.
All right, our hits and misses. Ian, what did you have snaps for from this past week's show?
I've kind of already mentioned a lot of the things that I was going to give snaps to, but I think in general, that lip sync was awesome. It was so good. And I mean, if either of them had won, I would have been happy, but I was very, very happy that Asia won.
The only thing that I'm going to say about the actual lip sync challenge is, as much as I like that song, when it started, I was like, huh, that's an interesting choice for a lip sync song.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But I was singing along the whole time.
Well, and that is, you bring up a good point that sometimes the lip sync songs get critiqued in and of themselves. That's not even the performance. It's just the song. Like a lot of like discussion that I'm aware of is everyone keeps saying, where the fuck is the Cher song?
Good point.
I said the same thing. Like, that's weird that it's not Cher. But then again, I have a feeling that they have to figure out a way to license these songs to air them.
Right.
So that probably has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I found that very interesting. I am going to politely disagree with you, Ian. I wasn't that excited by the lip sync. Like, was it a good lip sync? Yeah. Like, but then again, we're comparing this to people who don't know the words, people who don't take their mask off, people who just stand there. I mean, if we didn't have these controversies over the past couple of seasons, then I think this lip sync would be kind of okay. Like, it just didn't really wow me. The Vixen kind of did what I thought the Vixen was going to do. So, yeah. And Asia did all right. Like, I don't disagree that Asia wins. But at the same time, I don't think it was that tight. And I also don't think it was that obvious. I don't know. Like, it just, I feel too much like the narrative was the Vixen's got to go. And it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there was a collective sigh by a lot of the Drag Race community when that happened.
My Facebook, as soon as the show was over, I could tell who watched it live because I saw a whole bunch of posts about a goddamn time. Like, they weren't spoiling, but they were just like, well, I'm glad the queen I wanted to leave is finally fucking gone. I mean, just shit like that. And I was like, whoa, like, okay, yeah. I've got some strong opinions about this.
Very strong opinions indeed. And, you know, I understand where they're coming from. You know, there was a lot of anger, you know, coming out of her and a lot of just negativity. And I feel like that's gone from the workroom now. Unfortunately, she was starting to, I feel, kind of see what she was doing right before she went home. And there could have had this potential for, you know, maybe she would not be so negative, I guess. I don't know. I hate to say that because then it kind of goes back into that conversation from episode 2, I think it was. And I have no opinion on that.
Right. No, that makes sense. So if the lipstick for your life is what you're going to give your snaps for, what do you have eye rolls for this episode?
Okay. So,
We got a list apparently.
It's just two things. One we've already talked about. It's Monet's tape situation, but we've already talked about that. And what I put here is the Vixen's Pennywise runway. I felt that was, or Pennywise Cher. It looked more like Pennywise to me than Cher, because that hairstyle that Cher did for that particular look is not a look that a lot of people are familiar with. And I saw that and immediately I was just like, oh, if that was red, we got Pennywise too right here.
Interesting, because I did not get that. But I also, even though I'm aware of Cher and I'm old enough to, obviously, I did not get the Jackson 5 performance thing, which kind of bugged me a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to call it out now. If this keeps happening in future seasons, I'm going to get more and more irritated with Michelle Visage and RuPaul Charles pulling the stunt from the judges panel about, like, well, those that are old enough. You're getting older, darlings. Mm-hmm. Your viewership is younger. You need to be very careful about making statements about you should know or it matters. Like, there's some, I get, like, there's a little bit of like a discipline verbally that's happening where, like, Aja got critiqued for her Studio 54 look, which to this day, a lot of people take a lot of umbrage with the judges saying that it wasn't, when there's a lot of stuff from the period that seemed kind of close. So that's like one of my things is like, be careful about this whole recollection and what people should know and don't know, like based on age. And I mean, to be fair, the queens deserve it when they make some comments out of touch, like when they don't know their pop culture reference or they don't understand something. Absolutely. You should be told, honey, don't make a Paris is Burning reference if you don't know what the fuck Paris is Burning. Like, if you don't know what it is. But at the same token, I think they need to be a little careful when they make comments about stuff. And that really bugged me where they were like, you know, where I think the Vixen had made the comment about like, that's not necessarily a well-known look or a number or whatever. And then immediately the judges are like, and I was like, hold up, bitch, I've been in my 40s. Like, that wasn't known to me. Right. So I don't represent everyone in their mid 40s. Thank God. But I was like, come on. Like, so I don't know. I thought that was interesting. So I didn't get the Pennywise thing at all. So now I feel like I could go back and try to watch it and see if I can pick up on that.
Well, I literally just watched it again right before we started doing this. So it was like, that look was like fresh in my mind, but no, I agree, with, you know, making references, I guess, for the younger generation, especially after them having Vanessa Hudgens on. How much meme fodder did I'm So Into Voguing Right Now become? Like, if we could get more stuff like that, like, this could reinvent the whole show, which is kind of what they're trying to do this season anyway.
That's an interesting take.
And with, you know, we have Abby and Alana from Broad City coming in as judges next week. I can't wait for that. That's kind of something I feel like a younger generation would appreciate too.
And I'm going to have to go with you on that because I haven't watched that show and I don't know who the hell these people are. So this gets back to, what was it in All Stars 3, Chester, when we were like, who the fuck is this judge? Like, this super fan bullshit. I was like, I don't understand this.
Which judge was that?
I don't remember.
Don't remember.
Right. That's the problem. Like, had someone on and Rue describes him as a super fan. And I'm like, wait a second. How the hell do you get to be a super fan? Like, where's the contest? How do you enter? Like, I'm not saying I'm a super fan, but I'm so confused. Like, I don't know who this is. And yet when you listen to RuPaul and Michelle Visage's podcast and they talk to some people that are guests and they talk about, like, especially if they've never been on the show and they're like, oh, I love you and I would love to be on the show. And Ru's like, done. Like, there's a part of me that thinks that they don't necessarily have a lot of people knocking on their door to try to get on the show as judges.
Yeah.
So when, you know, someone relatively famous says that they want to be on the show, Rue immediately is like, done, easy, like, not a problem, whatever. And I'm thinking, well, there is scheduling and, you know, managers, right, and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, no, so am I, you know, it would be interesting. And I think it's fair that not all of them are superstars. Like, not everyone's a Christina Aguilera, you know, or of that caliber or whatever. I think it would be more interesting and awkward to get more straight men celebrities on there that are not into Drag Race.
Do you remember what was it? Episode or season 2 or 3 where they had John Sally and somebody else, two basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I would love. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ian. I was just going
to
say
that.
I
was just saying, I would love to see Henry Rollins on again. That dude just got hotter with age, and that is a straight dude that apparently is a super fan. I'd love to see him again.
Well, I think straight guys that are super fans is fine, but I'm like, I think it's more entertainment, as horrible as it is to say, to watch straight guys who don't know that much about drag watch and be mystified by the, like, what was, wasn't it Violet Chachki? No. Yeah. Violet Chachki or Tatiana or no, Cameron. Damn it. This is awful because I can't remember her name. It'll come back to me. She's she came out as trans. She models. Anyways, that's awful. I can't think of what her name is. And she lives, well, she used to live over on the East Coast. No. Everyone accused that she was doing hormone therapy when she was on during her season.
Carmen Carrera?
Yes, thank you. I knew it began with a C. I was just so far off. Anyways, Carmen Carrera was on. I'm pretty sure in that season there was a guy that was like, are you really not a woman? Like, was so, like, kind of confused about that. That's the part where I'm like, yes, I think we should have more of that. And while I appreciate the gay entertainers, like, some of the gay entertainers are kind of duds. Like, they're not really being good judges, in my opinion.
I agree. I think this week was not one of those cases, though. Andrew Rannells and Billy Eichner are freaking hilarious. I could watch them all day. I loved Billy Eichner on Parks and Rec. And Andrew Rannells in Book of Mormon is just hilarious. Like, all day I could watch those two.
All right. So I'm not that familiar with Billy Eichner, but I liked him better before he lost weight. And that isn't a read. It's just he got Hollywoodized and he's skinnier now. And now he has a beard. But it's not a good kept beard. That really annoyed the shit out of me. I was like, every time he was on camera, I was like, who is your person? Fire them. Like, I can't believe you come on the show and that you love drag and yet you look like this. I don't understand how that happened. Like, all I kept thinking is that phrase that I've said way too many times, not really on this show in particular, but your gays have failed you. Like, too many of your gay friends said it was okay to look this way. No, girl. Like, it wasn't a disaster. It was just disappointing. I thought, really? Like, it doesn't take that much to, you know, shave a little, just get some of the top hairs, make a little line, trim it up a little, put a little product in your beard. I don't know. Maybe he did, and I just didn't get it. Perhaps he's going for some weird scruff look thing.
Or maybe he just doesn't give a shit.
Well, right. That could be true, too.
I mean, kind of going off of, like, you know, the type of character that he played in American Horror Story, I could see it kind of working for him that he's trying to create this kind of persona so that he's not necessarily pigeonholed in one way or another from his, like, Billy on the Street days.
So that's fair. Yeah, I just, for me personally, I was like, that was a little bit disappointing, but I don't know. All right, are we ready to move on to last call?
Gentlemen, start your engines and may the best woman win.
All right. So may the best woman win. This is our last call or final thoughts. Ian, what do you think? What's your final impression from?
Okay. Let's see what I have left here. Things that didn't make it in. Oh, sponge spotting. Monet walking into the workroom. Doing this. Oh, that was the best. No longer hiding it.
Do you think that she knew right away that that was a thing, or that maybe like someone else kind of told her that, or the crew or something? Like,
I feel like it was all her own. I think it was something that she was just like, I'm going to make this into a thing. And she did. And I love it.
That's fair. Yeah. It cracked me up to know that she was just blotting the whole time. Like, just
good.
Outright owning it. Although it does make me question, bitch, how many of them damn things do you have? Like,
I mean, that entire dress was made out of them, so she's probably got that dress just picking them off every episode.
Well, this would seem like a whole, like, piece, like, not like cut or whatever, so I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But yes, so sponge spotting has happened yet again. Did we get a Miss Vanjie in this episode?
Since yes. We're doing callbacks, it was from the Vixen during the mini challenge. Yep.
when she was trying to get Rue to slap her.
That's yep. true. She did do that. Oh, did you hear? Did you hear about Miss Vanjie and what happened?
No.
Apparently, she went to Hurricane Bianca, the second movie, mm-hmm. showing in L.A. and stole the show by showing up. People said her name three times, and then she popped up apparently on stage or in the audience.
What?
And her response was, "You called my name three times, bitches," or something like that. I read it today online. I thought it was hysterical. I was like, I wonder if Bianca did that on purpose.
Oh, that's fantastic. I am sad that she was the first to go. I mean, she just seemed great. And in her, what was that called? What you got packing or
right.
whatever that, packing. That's the one. She just seemed great. And I don't know. I am one of those people that likes the idea of a RuPaul's best friend race. Like, I thought she would have had I know they don't do Miss Congeniality anymore. It's now fan favorite, I guess. But like, I felt like she would have been a shoo-in for that based off of the little bit of her personality we got to see from the show and then from what you pack in.
Well, so I wasn't that big of a fan of Miss Vanjie Mateo in the beginning, but she certainly has risen to be the most famous first eliminated queen ever. I think she's unfortunately now like putting Pork Chop in a shadow.
She's surpassed Pork Chop for sure.
Yeah, and so I think everyone's expecting she was an automatic for All-Star Season 4. Like, she's just automatically going to be there. Whether or not she does any good, I don't think anybody cares at this point. They're just like, just bring her back, like, you know, which I find interesting. I'm like, well, it could be something. Any other things from your notes, Ian, in regards to final thoughts?
I just got one more. And this is going to probably be a stupid one, but it's the part where Monet went up to that picture of Rue that's on the wall and basically did the side by side. My boyfriend has been calling that the unholy picture. He's like, you look at that and you'll hear 7 days and then you're just done. And I just think that was like the best thing ever. I want to like screen cap that and put it on my wall as big as I can.
I was flabbergasted that I love Monet so much that she kills me, because I'm like, to use a overly quoted line, are you high, Clary? Like, I did not understand that she's like, what? Don't you see the resemblance? Like, and I'm like, no, girl, not at all. Like, I'm not even going to grant you like black man in drag next to black man in drag with a white wig and a white wig. Like, no, like I'm like, but that's the part where I was like, I think she's really trying to be silly, stupid about it, which is why it is funny. But I was like,
exactly.
No, no,
no. And I think that like, yeah, I think that was the point, is that she looked nothing like her. And that was kind of the joke there. And it landed. And I think it landed hard.
Nice. Chester, any final thoughts as we're now at episode 8 and we've eliminated what, 8 girls, right? Because now we're down to 6.
Nope. I think the competition is shaping up nicely.
I am very curious to see who makes top 3, because we're now at a point where I don't feel like anybody that's left shouldn't be in it. Let me put it that way. I think it's Eureka's to lose as far as top 3 like tier or location and spot, whatever you want to call it. I think Asia, unfortunately, has been having a problem, and people are pointing out she's been in the bottom 2 weeks in a row. So that like is kind of like, you know, the death knell. Rarely do you get out of that, if ever. I wish Damon was here in a way, because I'm pretty sure he would know off the top of his head, like, how many queens have gone to lip sync for your lives and survived much beyond that. So, but everybody else, I don't have too many issues with. I think it'll be very eye-opening to see who makes the absolute top 3, or as I had to explain to my mother this week, because she's been sort of watching the season, but she's missed the past 2 weeks. So now when I visit her, I have to do a recap to her of what happened, which is kind of hysterical. But then I had to explain to her about how actually I think we might go for another top four like we did with season 9. So if that's the case, this week we go from 6 to 5. We get one more episode. We go 5 to 4. And then we're at the finale, if yeah. that's the path they want to take.
I'm really hoping that they do that, because that leaves it open for, you know, more people that you actually do enjoy seeing with the potential to actually take the crown.
But that brings up an interesting point. I got the impression a fair amount of people did not like last year's finale shakeup, where it was live lip syncing head to head, and it's a tiered bracket. Like, you pull a name or you get to pick your competitor, whatever it worked out. I can't recall quite. And like, you had one shot, like, and if you got eliminated basically in the first round, that's it, you're done. Like, that's all there is to it, which I thought was very cutthroat, but I got the impression some people really did not like that, like that new direction. So do we think they'll do that again? And do we care? I mean, does it matter that much?
Oh, God. I mean,
you know, I think for last season 9, I think it was somewhat justifiable to have the 4-way finale, because all of those queens excelled well, except for Peppermint. I was talking to Evan about this today. We were talking about Peppermint specifically, and I'm like, she was in the bottom a lot. There were times where she fell flat often, but there were also times where she excelled, where everybody else just kind of stayed really high all the time. She had these really great highs and some lows.
I agree, I guess, but I'm such a big fan of Peppermint, it was hard to see past that fandom sometimes. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, she was my top pick for that season. But I'm actually kind of, speaking of that whole last season, I'm actually kind of wondering where Sasha is, because all the promos for the season have been showing her, making it seem like there was going to be this big, she was going to be a big part of it. I haven't seen her yet.
I think they kept her, like, I think they included her at the very beginning, knowing that she wasn't going to be involved much after that, which was misleading, I think, if people really wanted to see more of Sasha. But we don't know, like, maybe we'll get to the finale and she'll have a lot more involvement in preparation of, you know, them passing off, you know, the crown to the next person. I have seen recently Logo did, they have a whole series called Out of the Closet, where they talk to Rue Girls about their home closet, so to speak, like what their aesthetic and all their stuff is. And I've posted some of those videos in the Telegram chat. It's interesting because Sasha's, I caught out of order. It's like the latest one that I watched, even though it's not the latest one they posted. And knowing about her graphic design background and, like, you know, a lot of other stuff, it all finally came together for me. And I was like, oh, and now I get it. Like, it's not that I didn't get her before, but now I felt like I have a better full encompassing picture of her as a performer and what her aesthetic style is and how she approaches things. And she has a new series of videos. I think I put the first one into the chat just the other day, which I highly recommend if people get a chance to watch it. It's all done in black and white noir. She actually sings, but it's more of a chanteuse type song. It's very artistic and interesting, kind of like where she goes with it. It's called Pirate Jenny, even though that's not really part of the lyrics, so to speak. But you'll understand when you see it. I mean, it's so Sasha Velour in a way, it kind of cracked me up. But I was like, oh, I bet you that this is where you've been. Like, you've been working, you know, touring and all that kind of stuff, but you're also doing some personal project stuff and you're being very calculating about what you're doing. And one of the things I like about that she said in this Out of the Closet interview was she doesn't like doing something until she has crossed every T, dotted every I, and feels it is 100% done, from the nails to the bottom of the shoe, I think is kind of the way she referenced it. And I was like, I get it. Like, where I think other girls are kind of like taking the coin wherever the coin is, and just spitting out whatever. I think she's much more like, no, I will not do that. Like, I will only put out when I think I've got something where it needs to be, and still grows on it, because she's had a couple of numbers that I've seen 5 or 6 times on video on tour, and I can see how it's modified. Like, as you watch the calendar dates get closer to the now, I can see where she's nuanced a couple of things and changed some stuff up. So I don't think that helps answer your question, Ian, as to where she is, but she's out there, she's doing stuff. So maybe she'll be more involved. I don't know.
Something you said actually kind of made me think of a potential for the final episode. What if, when they narrow it down, what if the final person actually has to lip sync against Sasha to take the crown?
That would be awesome.
That would be very interesting and awkward.
Very awkward.
Because you have to oust the current crown holder. What I think would be very cool, but I doubt is going to happen, is what if Sasha Velour, for her final like look or whatever, comes out on stage and then is buried under rose petals, because that's what she's infamously known for now. But she literally, like a magic act, disappears.
Huh.
Like, so she gets this cascade, like this huge dump of all these petals, and at the same time, through a trapdoor or whatever, talk to Pendulet, somebody, and I don't know, magic and that, and she's just like gone. Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, that would be pretty astounding, because of all the finales, I still think Violet Chachki's return, that was the biggest amazeballs. I mean, I got goosebumps now thinking about that, like prosthetic crown growing out of her head, that beetle dress. Like, it was just insane when she walked out. I was like, oh my God, she is not letting anybody forget. Like, I won. I will always be a winner of this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought that was interesting.
That would be cool though, if she just like fell through a trapdoor, like you said, with obviously that we can't see, but just leaving rose petals and then the crown and the scepter behind.
Or she could pull a Pink and she could actually do an acrobatic routine with cables. And instead of the petals coming down, they actually create a vortex like a tornado. And then she just gets whipped up into the ceiling and disappears. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not on her creative team getting like paid for any of this kind of shit. So.
You need to be.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because then I'm sure. No, this is what I've learned. If you come up with the idea, that everybody turns to you and you go, all right, motherfucker, how are you going to do it? Which is where I'm like, I don't know.
That's why you need a team. You need someone with the ideas and then someone else to make it happen.
True. Very true. All right. Well, let's get wrapped up if we're ready, gentlemen. So we want to thank all of you for coming and checking us out. There's plenty of ways you can get in touch with us. If you want to, you can check out our website blog for CubsOutLoud.com. And that's for all the Cubs Out Loud different stuff that we do. We have some gaming stuff. We have a regular series that we do. Then we have the drag race stuff that you're watching and hearing tonight or today, whatever time frame it is. If you want to, you can send us an email. That's CubsOutLoud@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail message. You can do that by calling 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. Social media, here's how simple it is. Type in Cubs Out Loud, always one word. It could be Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, Google+, even YouTube. You can find us there. If you would like to join the much mentioned and very fun Entourage social chat, what you do is you go to tinyurl.com/telegram. That's TELEGRAM - CCLLDR. And that would be our way to get in touch with us for the drag race portion of things. Ian did it. I believe you joined us via the link, correct?
Yes, sir.
And so because he did that, he actually got to be a part of our chat and everything else that's going on. So you could join us on there. We have been really good, and I'm very proud of everybody. So I want to give him kudos again for actually sticking to the rule. Basically, when the show airs on Thursday night, we try to wait until Saturday night to Sunday morning before we start giving any spoilers away and having a discussion.
All breaks loose.
Well, right. And basically, like this week, I put in # open season. Some of the people caught it. Right. And then they just like, they type vomit. their thoughts.
And I think I was in danger of that. And I even like said, I can't wait to freaking talk about this. And then I said basically nothing after it was finally okay to say something. I love reading everyone else's stuff. That's such a fun chat room.
Well, I thought it was quite comical because if I recall correctly, you were like, I have so much I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And then like everybody else.
Crickets. I know.
But anyways, so also, if you would like to support Cubs Out Loud, you can do that by two ways. You can go to zazzle.com/Cubs Out Loud and you could possibly get something like I'm wearing right now, like a handy dandy little Cubs Out Loud Drag Race, kind of logo shirt if you want to. Or you could get a purse first. You could get a mug, those type of things. You can also subscribe to our Patreon campaign, which is Patreon. That's patreon.com/Cubs Out Loud, where for as little as $1 a month, up to $10 or more, any amount in between. We ain't going to be, specific. It's up to you.
You can support poor bears.
You could support the poor bears. You could actually help us, in our goals to do more things with the podcast, including getting some new equipment and stuff like that. That also gets us to, you can promote Cubs Out Loud. So wherever you listen to us as a podcast, you can rate us, you can comment, we appreciate all that. On iTunes specifically, it's very helpful. And I'm super excited because we have something new to announce tonight. We actually have our own podcast feed for Cubs Out Loud Drag Race only episodes. So if you're interested in these and you're not necessarily digging the other stuff that we got, it's okay. I understand you want drag and nothing but drag. And this is part of what we're discussing on this show. So here's the deal. You're going to put in HTTPS because it's secured. And then your colon / tinyurl.com/iTunes-CoLDR in all caps. And then iTunes is small I, capital T. We'll put the link online, but you can use that and it'll actually take you into iTunes for the podcast feed. So you can actually get us there. And of course, Google Play Podcast, you can subscribe. I don't know if we have a separate one necessarily in there just yet for CoLDR, but we'll work on it. And on Stitcher Radio, you can give us a thumbs up. Most importantly, if you like the show and you want to get in touch with us individually, you can do so. Chester, how do they touch you? I mean, get in touch with you.
Go to Claw.
You can find me on Tumblr or Twitter under the name The Pup Up There. You can sit next to me this Wednesday night at it's not exactly the premiere, I guess, because it's already premiered, but we're going to go see Hurricane Bianca 2 and let's see, or various bear dating sites across the net under the name Pup Shutter or Cupcake 76.
If you would like to get in touch with me, you can find me pretty much anywhere online as GarBear73. That's GarBear73. Ian, if they want to get in touch with you online or on social media, how do they do that?
Well, Tumblr. You can find me at Jumpin' Jehoshaphat, and that's JumpinJehoshaphat. Or on Growler or Scruff. My screen name is Be Nice and I am in Oregon, so find me.
I think lots of people are going to want to get in touch with you. I mean, touch you. Well, whatever. But it was awesome having you on. We appreciate you being a guest with us tonight.
So much fun.
And of course, we look forward to seeing more from you in the Telegram chat. That being said, we are going to wrap it up and call it a night, and we're going to take it to the moon because that's how they do it on the show, right?